Well, good morning and a very warm welcome to you all, to old friends and new friends. And if you're here for the first time or listening online for the first time, a very warm welcome. I'm Peter Myers, I'm the curate here. And a warm welcome to old friends, Alice and Isaac, who are visiting this weekend. It's wonderful to have you with us and back. Look forward to catching up later. Well, today we continue our Advent season and looking at Christ in the carols. But before we get stuck into our worship, the worship of notices and a few things that are going on, let's begin there. The heart of Christmas is our theme, and I hope that some of you will have seen some of these. I hope even more so that you've perhaps been had an opportunity to distribute these up and down the roads where you live. There are a couple of things I wanted to point out. Next Saturday, 4 o'clock, Peachfield Common. We are going to be doing carols on the common, 45 minutes or so of community opportunity to gather, to sing carols, enjoy each other as community. And I'm hoping there's going to be some warm mulled apple juice as well. So do come and join that. We'd also love some people to help put up a few gazebos and take them down afterwards, and also to serve some mulled wine. So if you are able to help with that, please come and touch base with me afterwards and let me know. We've got a team at the moment, but we would love some extra hands and feet as well. The other thing is that Emma and I are we're taking a plunge, and we would love to host Christmas lunch here on Christmas Day. It's an early thought, but we're looking at perhaps hosting about 30 people here for lunch on Christmas Day. And so there are two things with that. One is, if you would like to join hosting that, perhaps helping prepare some of the food, still working out what that looks like, then please let us know. But more to the point, if you are someone who perhaps at the moment is expecting to have Christmas on your own, then please come and join us. Or if there is someone you know, your neighbour or someone, a friend, who you know is going to be on their own and would like company for Christmas or Christmas lunch, then please invite them, but also let us know. And I think we're going to work on trying to gather about 30 people or so. So if you'd like to be involved to help and serve and host that, then let us know. Or if you know someone who'd like to join us, that would be wonderful. So that's out there as well. Can I invite us to stand? And before we sing our first worship song, we seem to be quite, I don't know if any children and families want to come forward and come to the front. There's some musical instruments at the front. And I think to say that when we ask the mums and dads and the children to come down and wave flags or play musical instrument, you know, this is because they're an integral part of our worship and the noise in heaven and in our praise. So it's not just a sort of how nice, it's about it being a really important part of our worship. And so I just encourage you to be a part of that if you can. So let me read Psalm 9. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will tell of all your wondrous deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turned back, they stumbled and perished before you. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemies have vanished in everlasting ruins. Their cities you have routed out. The very memory of them has perished. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with equity. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed. the stronghold in times of trouble. For those who know your name put their trust in him. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord. Let us remember as we worship this morning that the Lord has beaten our enemies, whatever those enemies are for you, the difficulties and the challenges of life, the Lord, it reigns over all. So let us sing and worship together. Thank you that we can come and worship you this morning. Stir our hearts this morning as we encounter you afresh in this Advent season, preparing our hearts for your coming. In Jesus' name, Amen. Please take a seat. And I'll put a call out if there are any more children out there that want to come down to the front. No, it's going to be... So, Advent, second Advent today. Last week, it was the patriarchs that we remembered. But this week, it's the prophets. Now, does anybody know what sort of definition of prophecy or prophet is? Does anybody want a biblical sort of understanding of prophecy? And anybody who was here last week in the evening might know? Very good, very good. Thank you, Christine. Yes, brilliant. Any other ideas? Prophecy and prophets are those just as a foretelling, but it's a message from God. The prophets were messengers of God, bringing messages from God. Now, I had a whole thing here for the children, but since there aren't really very many children, I'm not really going to go there quite so much. So we'll just remember that today we are thinking and remembering about the prophets who were the messengers of God at certain times in certain situations, foretelling, as Christine said, foretelling the coming of the Saviour. And that's what the nature of we remember. So I'm going to light that is empty, which I found out a moment ago. So we are going to remember the prophets. Let's name some prophets. Shout out from the names of prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Say again. Thank you. Any others? Ezekiel, and so on. Foretelling the coming of our Saviour. And I've been stirred. I'm not sure Jeff is going to come and speak later. But there are two sides to Advent. It's been really stirring me this week. There is the excitement of celebrating the birth of Jesus, a birthday. All of us have birthdays. It's a time of celebration, and we have that anticipation. But we've also got the anticipation of Jesus's coming again. And when he comes, there is a judgment day as well amongst the celebration of a new heaven and a new earth. And so actually Advent is both a celebration and excitement, but there is an edge to it. There's another edge to it, which is actually a reflection on how are we doing in our own lives, knowing that there is actually a time where we, each and every one of us and the people, will be judged. And so Advent offers us not only that celebration and the excitement of that celebration, but also a time of reflection about where we are and how we're doing. And I just encourage us during this Advent time to find moments to sit and say, Lord, where am I? How am I doing in my life? Where do I need to know more of you in my life? So I'm ready when Jesus returns, as he will. So let us, I'll say the words in yellow. O come, O come, Emmanuel, come, Lord Jesus. We come to light a light of promise, to remember you are not, we are not alone, not abandoned, not lost, but held in the promise of God's love. In a world that sometimes forgets God with us, we cling to your promise. With the prophets of every age, we cling to your promise. We light a candle in the darkness. We cling to your promise. O come, Emmanuel. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. So, if there are any children still here, the children are going to go to their groups. I don't know if the little ones here are going to head off. And before we go back into before we go back into worship, I just want to tell you about something we're doing in the new year. A number of us are going to set up and lead, or are setting up and going to lead, a Kintsugi Hope Wellbeing Support Group beginning at the beginning of January. Anybody know what Kintsugi is? The art of Kintsugi? Go on.
A smashed pot with a gold
Yeah, kintsugi is the art of repairing something broken with gold. And that with gold, it then restores that pot into something more glorious and unique. And kintsugi, hope, is a charity that is there to support people who are in really difficult and challenging times, predominantly mental well-being issues, but seeing the goodness in our brokenness and helping to restore us. And kintsugi is hope is a charity that has been working with churches. It's a Christian charity, providing a place to support people who need it. And I'm trying to move the next slide on. Who might give? Can we get a? No. Is the PowerPoint just with the kintsugi emblem on it? But okay, we'll go on to the. So the kintsugi is a 12-week program which we look at all sorts of different things like anger and depression and all sorts of different challenges, mental health issues. And we provide a safe space to which to support one another, to know that it's okay that we haven't got it all together, and to journey life together and out of that rebuild people's lives. So why am I sharing this with you now is that we want to just start letting people know and inviting, if you know somebody in your community, a friend, whether you're someone who needs to come and spend some time with other people in a safe space to know that it's okay not to be okay, and to find mutual support and also learn some things and some support mechanisms and structures to be able to help you get back on your feet or see more positively. So please, we're beginning to let people know there's more information in the newsletter as well. But if you know people around you or you're one of those people, then please connect them with myself or Ali Mesley or Colin or contact the office and then we can get connected. But if we can, just have a very short promotional video, see if we can make that work.
Life can feel like a game of Tetris. No matter what you do, sometimes the blocks don't line up. Days spent trying to keep all the plates spinning, but sometimes it's just one plate too many. Or perhaps you're giving out of an empty cup.
So that's the image of the broken.
Some of us invest. Broken, but we can all discover treasure in life's scars.
So we're going to begin, I think it's on the 10th of January, Monday evenings, for a 12-week program. And if there's anybody you know or you want to get involved, then please get in touch. We want to bring hope and we want to bring life to people that are really struggling and feeling overwhelmed. So let us now move into a time of worship. So let us stand. Lord, for all the joy of Christmas and the excitement that comes, for many, this is an incredibly difficult and challenging time of year, financially, emotionally, and for many other reasons. We thank you, Lord, that we have each other here, but help us to be out there as well in the world, to love and to support and to be alongside those where it's tough. But most of all, Lord, we thank you that you are the source of all love, provision, strength, hope, and purpose. So work in us. And may we celebrate you this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
So as we join together to worship, I want you to feel just free to stand or sit or however you're feeling this morning. Just feel that you are known and loved by God. In this first song, verse 2 says, "You're the Lord of all creation, and still you know my heart. The author of salvation, you've loved us from the start." God knows everything about us. He knows our hearts. We can't hide anything from him. And the thing is that he loves us the way we are. And he wants us to be the best that we can be. So in this time of Advent, we are emphasizing the waiting here for Jesus to come. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. But as we wait, know that we are all loved by God, loved by our Heavenly Father. Thank you.
Emmanuel, God with us, the God who makes all things new, who brings life and hope and love. May we know Emmanuel for ourselves today and every day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please take a seat, and Joan's going to come and bring our reading.
The reading this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 to 10. If you want it in the church Bible, it's page 724. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, and her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please will you open your word to our hearts this morning and open our hearts to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. When my wife and I were living in Battersea in London, our house was located on a very busy main road. One Saturday morning, we got in the car to go shopping, and to our surprise, the road was empty. So we pulled out, and then, suddenly, out of the blue, there was this motorcycle bombing down the road towards us, weaving from lane to lane. I guess for a bit of fun, because it was an open road. But when he saw us, he just lost control and hit us head on. And he was thrown over the roof of the car onto the road the other side. We jumped out and ran round, and there was this young man writhing in pain with what looked like a dislocated shoulder. A passerby called an ambulance. We tried to help him, but he was just in too much pain. When he heard the sirens of the ambulance approaching, he looked relieved. They confirmed that he dislocated his shoulder, gave him some gas and air, and carted him off to A&E. We learned a few days later that the doctors had managed to put his shoulder back quite easily, and he'd actually walked home from the hospital that same day with no other injuries, thankful to be alive. Now, I tell you this true story because it is in a way a kind of parable of what happened to the people of God in the book of Isaiah. It is also a parable of what can happen to Christians today. Dislocation. The people of God, of course, had been forcibly wrenched from their homes by the Babylonians and carried off into exile. For years, really, they'd been flirting with other gods for a bit of fun, I guess. But then it all got out of control and they crashed. And now they were dislocated, not just from their land, but from their Lord as well. These well-known words from Psalm 137 reflect their mood. Even more, the book of Lamentations. Why do you forget us and forsake us for so long? Now that sense of dislocation, and perhaps even worse, the feeling that you've been amputated from God, can happen to Christians as well. People who've believed all their life, it can happen. Now it may, of course, be our own fault. We've turned away from God, like the Israelites. Or it may be circumstances beyond our control. Where is God, we say, when that happens? No doubt all of us from time to time have been able to reflect the words of King David in Psalm 13. How long will you hide your face from me, Lord? C.S. Lewis, whose books have helped many, many people, went through a terrible time of dislocation after he got married to his wife. 3 years later, she died of cancer. And he wrote about it in this book, which you may know, A Grief Observed. And he's very honest. He says this: so where is God? Come to him when you feel at your most desperate, and what do you get? A door slammed in your face, he said, and then silence. In March 2019, Dave preached a very powerful sermon on the wilderness, and he told us about Mother Teresa. Now, if anybody should be close to God, surely she should be. But Dave told us her private letters showed us something else. She felt alienated from God. Indeed, she wrote, "Sometimes I have trouble believing that God even exists. The silence for me," she said, "is so great that I hear nothing at all." The 18th century hymn writer William Cowper suffered years of feeling dislocated from God, even amputated. He wrote this famous hymn, "Oh, for a closer walk with God. Where's the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord?" And to make matters worse for Cowper, he felt it was his fault that the Lord had left him. One verse of the hymn says, "Return, O holy dove, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast." It can happen to Christians who've been Christians, strong Christians, for years and years. It happened to the Israelites. If you've ever been plagued by that sense of dislocation, if ever you've found yourself saying, as in Lamentations, "Restore me, Lord, that I may return, unless you've utterly rejected me, and you're angry with me beyond measure, if you've ever felt like that, let me tell you, the prophet Isaiah has words of profound comfort for you and for me. And they come in the very first verse. Comfort my people, says your God. I never cease to be amazed at the power of small words in the Bible. My wife tells me she became a Christian because of two small words. Let me show you the words you and the words for. When she was about 13, she started to go to church. Actually, her dad had forbidden her to go to church, but being a rebellious teenager, she started to go. And every time she went, it seemed to her that the vicar who climbed up into the pulpit would always say these words, Christ died for you. And he would point. And she thought he was pointing at her. And she heard this time and again in church until one day it sunk right into her and she gave her heart to the Lord. She ended up marrying the vicar's son, much to her dad's horror, but he did eventually accept me. Two small words here in this first verse of Isaiah, my and your. The Lord said, Isaiah, tell my people this, comfort. I am still your God, and you are still my people. No matter what you've done, no matter what's happened to you, you're still mine, and I'm still yours. Now, if that was all that Isaiah said, it would have been enough, but he went on in Isaiah chapter 40 and the rest of the passage that was read to us, and he says this to them, help is on its way. Your troubles are at an end. Your sins have been pardoned, and I'm coming to you. And those words must have been like the ambulance siren to that wounded motorcyclist. You may still be in pain. Things may still not be right for you. But I'm coming. I'm coming to find you, and I'm coming to restore you. You may know Charles Dickens' novel, David Copperfield. Here's the front cover, if you can see it, of the first edition. It's got a little girl in the picture, little Emily, the niece of Daniel Pegarty, who he's adopted, and he's brought up this little girl lovingly. And David Copperfield, the novel, is as much about her as it is about David. Because when this little girl grows up, little Emily, one of Copperfield's friends grooms her and she elopes with him to the continent. And Daniel, her uncle, is in agony over this. It breaks his heart. But then he hears that Emily has been abandoned and turned to a life of prostitution to survive. And he decides to go in search of her. And he says these words to Copperfield. I'm going to seek her far and wide. If anything should happen to me, my last word for her is this. My unchanged love is with my darling child, and I forgive her. And off he goes. And he searches for her all over France. And here's an illustration of Daniel Pegarty in a French village, searching for Emily. And in the background, I don't know if you can make it out, there's a crucifix, as there was in many French villages. And Charles Dickens, who loved the Gospels, people say that he was drawing a parallel between Daniel's search for Emily and Christ's search for us. Eventually, he finds her in London and rescues her. And he takes her and emigrates to Australia to start a new life. And as he says to Copperfield as he leaves, no one can reproach her there. The Lord comes to his dislocated people and he says to them, my unchanged love is with my darling child. That is the comfort he offers to you and to I. He's coming. You may feel a failure. You may feel deserted. But he's coming into the desert place to look for you and to restore you and I. When I was about 17 years old, I was having a bit of a tough time with my parents, as you do at that age, and I decided just to go off somewhere. I chose to go to Dartmoor on my own with a tent. It was terribly cold. But one day, walking across Dartmoor, I came across this tunnel in a disused railway line. And I went up and I looked in, couldn't see the far end, and I thought, shall I go in? I thought, yeah, I'll go in. And I went into this tunnel. Can't be far, I thought. It's probably turned a bend, so I can't see the other end. But after I'd walked in for a few minutes, it got darker and darker until I couldn't even see my hand in front of my face. And I was seized with panic. And I turned round. I couldn't see where I'd come in. I must have turned a corner. And I got down on my hands and knees and felt around me. What if there was a hole that I was going to fall down? What if there is a wild animal in there? The hound of the Baskervilles, I thought. And I trembled with fear and terror. And then I felt a breath of fresh air. And I smelt grass. And I thought to myself, I must be near the end. And that gave me the courage and the resilience to carry on. And eventually, light began to show. And I got up and I ran towards it and threw myself down on a grassy bank outside. That breath of fresh air is what Isaiah is talking about. It's the Spirit of the Lord looking for us. But someone will say, well, I don't feel that breath of fresh air at all. I can't even see my hand in front of my face. What then? Paula Gooder is a very fine biblical scholar. And some years ago, she wrote this little booklet called A Way Through the Wilderness. It's a Lent course on Isaiah chapter 40. She says this, the assurance of God's presence is not based on emotion or our ability to feel God's presence, but on trust in God. Isaiah is prophesying at a time when no one has seen any evidence whatsoever that the Lord is there or that the Lord is coming. All they had was his promise, and they were called to trust that. Whatever the crisis, whether it's of our own making or it's uninvited, undeserved suffering, the source of the ability to keep going is the promise of Jesus never to forsake us. George MacDonald was a Scottish minister who had a very powerful influence on C.S. Lewis, so much so that C.S. Lewis collected some of his sayings together. And the very first one in this little booklet, which you may know, is this. That person is perfect in faith who can come to God in the utter dearth of feelings and desires, without a glow or an aspiration, with the weight of low thoughts, failures, neglects, wandering forgetfulness, and can say to him, thou art my refuge. O come, Emmanuel. He has come, he will come, and he's coming every day to you and me to search for us. Let me finish with this. There may be dislocation, but much more, there is restoration. When Christ takes hold of your life and my life, There's a lot that needs putting right on the outside, even more on the inside. Our brains need rewiring. Our hearts need renewing. Our attitudes need rebuilding. And that takes time. It may take a whole lifetime. And it gets messy. If you've ever renovated a house, you'll know what I mean. It gets very messy. But the Lord is at work, and therein lies hope. Amen. Let's bow our heads. If there's just one thing that you've heard this morning that you're going to remember and take away with you, hold on to it. Because it may be the thing the Lord wants to deal with in your life, your heart. Father, thank you because it is in the desert place that Jesus comes. Help me to recognize your promise, never to forsake us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us not race on from the richness of what Jeff has shared with us. Let's have a moment of quiet, reflect, and allow the Lord to do business with you and with me. What's the one thing that you need to respond to? Lord, help us to offer you the areas of our lives that are dislocated. And may we in faith know that you are the God of restoration. And the good news is that you are there to relocate and restore. Come, Holy Spirit, and do that extraordinary work in our hearts and in our lives, day in and day out, in Jesus' name. Amen. Joe is going to come up and lead us now in our intercessions.
Let's pray. Let's join together in prayer, shall we? Excuse me. I hardly dare whisper a prayer, really. I feel God is so present. But the thing that I've been meditating on this week is in Isaiah 40, verse 11, where he says that he gathers us and he carries us, but he carries us close to his heart. And Lord, I want to say this morning, help us to know what's on your heart for your people, for your world, for Malvern, for this church, as we move forward. Our Christmas leaflet asks us, who is at the heart
of Christmas. And of course, Jesus is at the heart of Christmas. God is right in the centre, but so many of us and so many people around us don't know that. But God wants us and wants them to know all about him and his saving love, which we hear about through the life of Jesus. And as we focus on, particularly at Christmas, when he came to save us. So, Lord, we pray for these precious leaflets, that that question, who is at the heart of Christmas, will challenge all that receive it. And we really do pray that as we deliver over the next week or two, that these will be received and thought about and considered, and that people will come to the events, Lord, that you've led us to lay on in this season of Advent and Christmas. And we pray for all that's going to take place, we trust. We pray for carols on the common next week, that it'll be a fine day and there won't be too much wind, if any wind. We just pray for a good time in that meeting together and sharing with our friends and neighbours. We pray for the nativity service, that that will be fun and informative and entertaining, but meaningful to us in our hearts and those that come. We pray for the reflective service, that those who struggle with Christmas will be comforted, as we've already been hearing. And we pray for generally singing the carols of truth and the joy that that truth brings us. Lord, help us to find our peace and contentment in you, and that others may too as well this Christmas. Commercial Christmas promises so much, but often the results give so little of lasting peace and joy. Lord, we pray for those who find Christmas difficult, those who dread it, the lonely, the bereaved, those of limited means who feel that they have to keep up with everything and then get into debt and feel under pressure. The homeless, the disenfranchised. Lord, we commit them to you. Direct us to their place, Lord. Help us to reach out. We just really thank you for all the donations that have come in to make up the hampers, both at the Octagon and the CAP, and for others who may need things that they can't readily get hold of because of their circumstance. We pray for sensitivity as we give these out, but great joy for those who receive them. And Lord, we pray for particularly for children's activities, because the parents may come and that may open the door to faith for them. And we really, really pray that. We pray for holiday at home and the tea that they're going to have a little later in the week, that that will be a time of reunion and joy after this very long period of not being able to meet so much. Lord, there's still so much darkness, even as we look to you for the light and see you as the light of the world. Bring light into those dark places, particularly at the moment with this worry of another virus active and making people ill. We just pray for healing for anybody we know who's suffered in that particular way or in any way. And we just rejoice that Peter has come out of hospital, Peter Yeadon, and we rejoice that Marion is improving. We just thank you for answered prayer for people in the fellowship. And we lift others to you too, who we await news of. And Lord, we pray for those who are really inconvenienced and feeling very uncomfortable because they haven't yet been restored to electricity and things like that, areas of Scotland and the northeast, and we pray that that will happen very quickly now. And we pray for those who've got to do it in dangerous and difficult conditions, in mountainous areas and in forested areas where it's not easy to work. We just thank you that we live in a country where there are people who are trained and able to help in those particular areas. And Father God, we pray that in these coming weeks, as we look towards Christmas, we may just know your peace and joy and want to transfer that to the circumstances in which we live and to those whom we know, our neighbours and friends. I just pause for a moment for any situation or person or people that you may feel particularly on your heart at the moment. Just bring them to the Lord in our time of intercession. So we thank you, Lord, that you are Lord of all. You are Lord of the world. And we pray that your kingdom will come, especially in those dark areas where there is war and famine and distress and malnutrition and destitution and dislocation, Lord. We pray that you will breathe your spirit of wholeness into those areas and use your people as you will to minister to people in those situations. In your great love, we pray. So let's join together in the Lord's Prayer, shall we? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Joe. So we're drawing the service to a close. We're going to sing our final song. But let me read once again from Isaiah as we finish in worship. The voices that cry out in the wilderness, prepare a way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let us stand and worship.
Thank you, team. Can I invite you to sit, please? Just about to come to an end of the service, but we wanted to share some news, some family news, as in broadest context of the family news. I hope many of you are aware that I've in my fourth year of curacy. So my where I'm going, what I'm going to do, has been a sort of question that's been hanging in the air. Emma and I have been through a bit of a whirlwind week, and because I was being interviewed for a role down on, close to the south coast this week, and they offered the role to us, and Emma and I feel it's right, and we've accepted it. So we have been invited to become the team vicar of St Barnabas in Bearwood, which is just outside Poole, Bournemouth, on that south coast. So it's a bittersweet piece of news, really, because obviously it means that our time here with you will come to an end in the not-too-distant future. But, of course, we're very excited about where the Lord is taking us and what we've been invited to be a part of. Time-wise, we're looking at moving in during the Easter holidays is when they're hoping for us to arrive. We'll finalise the dates with them and with Dave and you, but we'll be here until the end of March and then probably head off at the beginning of April is the sort of how it's shaping. Where we're going, there's one parish in, it's the parish of Canford Magna, and there are three churches, three thriving churches, three vicars that look after those three churches. So we're part of a team which is fantastic down there. But obviously, we'll be very sad to leave here. I mean, that's our news. It brings some certainty where there's been uncertainty, but there will also be lots of questions that now come to the fore, which will the Lord will answer in the coming weeks. And obviously, there'll be time in the coming months to weeks to say farewell and finish that. But my heart and my focus is still here very much for the next few months and until Easter and we head off. Can I just say thank you, because I stunned all saints into complete silence.
It's right, they've just about recovered now, I've just come down. I'm sure many of you are feeling as we are, you know, we're delighted for Peter and Emma, and I've seen the church profile, know a little bit about the church, and it's a really fantastic fit, and they are going to be just a great asset for them and a real gift to them in this next season. So we're delighted for them. We're very sad to see, and we will be sad to see Peter go when he goes, but we're going to make the most of these next few months that we've got. But I thought it'd be really good just to pray for him and for Emma and for the whole family now, and just bless them. And bless the churches that they're going to as well. So, Lord, we thank you so much for bringing Peter and Emma and the family here. We thank you for all that they've meant to us over these last few years. We thank you for the way that you have used them to really minister powerfully in this place and bring your kingdom in. And we rejoice with them at this fantastic news that you have found a place for them, that you've prepared a place for them. And we bless them and we bless the church to which they're going to, that this would be a really fruitful season for them, that you would use them powerfully to minister your love and your grace to a needy community there. And we just pray for them in the preparation as we think of preparation of Advent, as they prepare now to take up that role. Would you prepare their hearts? Would you prepare that church to receive them? And we just bring all your blessing, pray all your blessings on them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So let me finish with the blessing. And Lord Jesus, we go into this new day and into the week where we know we are dislocated. Would you bring restoration and the sense of your good news, knowing that you're always with us and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us now and always. Now, in the name of Jesus, amen.
I just wanted to say, as everybody's leaving, that I was on retreat last weekend, and then when I came back, I was just in the kind of waking up in the hour before you wake up, and as sometimes happens with me, God gave me a song, literally gave me a song, and I rushed downstairs, Barry will tell you, and wrote it down. And I only mention this because it's so much on theme of what Jeff spoke about today, about the hope that we have. And it's so much on theme after the news that we've had just now. So I thought I thought I would just sing it as you're all going out, and just to say that the words are, my hope is in you every night and every day, my trust is in you every night and every day, my joy is in you every night and every day, because you are my strength, you are my song, you are the guide on the journey I'm on, you are my light, you are my joy, you are my hope, you are love.